You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Is over that kids only go to school 4 days a week. How much you want to bet? I'll bet you 4 days a week max. That's all they'll go. That's right. That's my prediction. My 16-year-old is distance learning right now at the kitchen table. When teachers get a load of that, can you imagine all the overhead they can cut? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my take on it. I think that the school districts will figure out a way to not have kids come to the on site. Yeah, education gonna change. Distance learning. Yeah. Very good morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. We're going to start a series about Contien. And Jack Riley is going to be the first. He'll be the first person that talked about his experience at Contien. But anyway, he's not a Bravo Company guy. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, and again, why is Contien important to the Marine Corps? Well, we talk about peer-to-peer warfare, right? What it's like to fight a peer. And the last time the Marine Corps did that, in my opinion, is in I Corps in the northern part of Vietnam when the North Vietnamese Army would get it on with us. They would rocket us. They would mortar us. They would arty us. They used flamethrowers. They would come through the wire. They would do all of that, right, to come to put, you know, as I say, our heads on a stick. And so to me, that's why studying those fights is important. And to give a sense of what that is to Marines that populate the Marine Corps today. So that's why, to me, Contien is important. That's why Khe Sanh is important, to study those. And anyway, so Jack Riley was in 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines. The movement to contact that is Operation Buffalo is starts with Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. Alpha Company moves to reinforce them. And then 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, that Jack Riley's a part of, is moves to they fly in. They're in Dong Ha, which is the where the command post of the 3rd Marine Division is. So tomorrow you're going to hear from Jack Riley. And then in subsequent weeks, you're going to hear from members of Alpha Company and Bravo Company, and as I can dig them up and get them to come on the radio. So so it's pretty cool. And just talking to Jack Riley is always good for the soul. So you'll hear him tomorrow. Today, Grant Newsham will join us. Grant will give us some of his thoughts on watching all of this pandemic stuff. And it obviously originated in China. So he'll give you his thoughts on whether China would ever use something like this to put its hands on Hong Kong, on Taiwan, because I don't know if you think in terms of, you know, military things. If you were a nefarious actor on the world, right, you can see how you might use a biological agent like this to paralyze the rest of the world, especially the Western world, because it doesn't behave in the same manner that totalitarian regimes behave. It doesn't have the same kind of absolute power that a totalitarian government has. And the and so it would be – so Grant and I will talk about that. Yeah, and I mean, how could you not be taking notes? If you were one of those guys, if you were a weapons of mass destruction guy in North Korea, in China, you're watching this. Pretty amazing. The you know, the other thing I sat down to watch yesterday was I saw, you know, headlines about, you know, the increasing anger around the world at the way the Chinese have handled this, and then the way they attempt to. The way they're attempting to rehabilitate their image around the world. And that is by, you know, that is by their, you know, their goodwill tour. They're sending, you know, supplies around the world that they're overcharging for to save the world, right? China coming to the world's rescue. Well, I mean, when you, I think the piece was done 60 Minutes in Australia. And, you know, they talk about how the Chinese knew in early January that this virus could be, communicated, you know, per human to human, which essentially puts it in a different class than something that could only be, you know, communicated if you went to the, you know, open air food market in Wuhan and ingested a bat or a squirrel or some other kind of small barnyard animal or large barnyard animal, whatever. But that's what they were selling to the World Health Organization, and they knew it. And then subsequent people who have issued a warning have, some have died, others have been arrested by the Chinese. So pretty interesting as the world, you know, how does Italy recoup, you know, its losses relative to this, and stand by. I mean, Italy at least is a developed nation. Wait till this thing hits Africa, and it will. You know, wait till you hear the screaming that comes out of Africa. Wait till you see what it does in Russia, where the health system is not so much, and it's certainly not configured to anything like this. All right, and then wait till it makes its way to the back roads of China, and watch what happens out there. So it's pretty interesting to watch the world as it wrestles with this. I mean, the economic impact. I mean, think about this. March 31st, right? Rent's due. How many people around the country aren't making rent this month? What do their landlords do? Can't evict them anymore. What happens to the mortgage business when all these mortgages come, no, you know, unpaid? So you're talking about, you know, writing off, right? Tacking on to the back of, what unique financial tool are we going to use so that, you know, people, you know, so it doesn't shut down the economy. What do? You get your $1,200 a month. How far does that go? Pay your rent half a time, depending on where you live, maybe once, depending on where you live, with nothing left over. So the economic impact, and at some point, you know, I think nations are going to get righteously indignant. Well, indignant is the wrong word. They should get righteously pissed about you had the chance to do this, and for the sake of what? This fake image that you try to portray around the world of China. And really, if the narrative is told properly, the reason that the Chinese can do it is because the media plays along with them. Because the media, right, they don't want their outlets booted out of China, right? We've all seen how the NBA plays along. We all see how companies like Nike play along. Companies like Apple play along, right? Slave labor from the Uyghurs, right? Is that involved in making some of this? Some of my product? But you know what? At the end of the day, they don't care because, you know, there's cheap labor in China. So anyway, we'll talk to Grant about some of that stuff. Grant, always an interesting guy. We'll also ask him about the what he thinks of what he's seen relative to the Commandant's planning guidance. If you missed it yesterday, TX Hamas came on, and TX is Thomas X. Hamas, retired colonel in the United States Marine Corps, big brain guy, always has been. He's a research fellow at National Defense University, prolific writer, blah, blah, blah. What TX is that we're talking about a revolution in warfare, and that's what General Berger's addressing. And so I would recommend, if you're interested in stuff like that, I'd recommend that you listen to the interview with Mark Kansian, and I'd recommend that I'd recommend that you listen to the interview with TX Hamas. Both very, very interesting. As you attempt to understand what the Marine Corps is going through. Now, I will tell you that throughout the history of the world, there's been people that have screamed revolution and warfare all the time, only to find out that there was a technological improvement that rendered their revolution, you know, just part of the ordinary evolution of warfare, that it wasn't in fact evolutionary. It wasn't in fact revolutionary, that it was evolutionary. And that the time-honored rules that govern military affairs still held sway. And so so the Commandant of the Marine Corps is taking the Marine Corps from being the most cost-effective branch in the United States military, the branch that can go right now to any climb in place and fight, the branch that is most flexible in terms of we'll heavy up and fight one way, we'll lighten up and fight another way, we'll be there tonight, and we will be the most cost-effective alternative that you have. Okay? And he is fundamentally changing that. He is gearing the Marine Corps for one fight. And so in order to have an informed opinion, I think you got to listen to both those guys, and we'll bring other people on and continue to discuss it. But I want to discuss it also with a historical lens. Other commandants have faced similar calls, right? The nuclear age going to render the Marine Corps, right, you know, irrelevant. Never do another amphibious operation, right, in the history of the Marine Corps. And then what happens? The Korean War happens. And what are we doing? Conventional warfare. And we're not going to drop a nuclear weapon. And so what do we need? Oh, shit, we need grunts. Army not prepared, enter the Marine Corps at the Pusan perimeter. Yeah. All of the South Korean forces, all of the army stuffed into a perimeter around the southeastern city of Pusan. Marines land, stabilize the situation, and then General MacArthur, in one of his great moments, he engineers the Incheon landing, and the Marines of the 1st Marine Division go ashore at Incheon and head to Seoul, and there's a breakout at Pusan, and holy shit. What just happened? In spite of the revolution that nuclear weapons brought, you still needed balanced forces that could get there right now, in spite of that, and that could fight across the range of military operations. Okay, what does that mean? That means you could fight, you know, heavy conventional force on one end, and you could fight light, you know, low-intensity conflict, counterinsurgency on the other end. So, you know, that's Korea, Vietnam, right? Post Bay of Pigs, blah, 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 right? The Marine Corps resists other historical pushes to become the nation's low-intensity conflict force in order to stay balanced. So anyway, General Berger's messing with things that other commandants have held dear and have always steered a course towards balance and being expeditionary and providing the most bang for the buck. And so I want to look at that from a historical lens too. I got an email yesterday from somebody who said, hey, Mac, also this move away from the primacy of the MEF that General Berger has discussed, that we have to, you know, we think the MEF, then why do we need our own air component? In particular, why do we need our own fixed wing assets? I mean, the Navy has those out in the Pacific. If that's all we're ever going to do, then make me the case for Marine Corps fixed wing aviation. And I thought about that and I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is, I mean, in the news at the Air Force Academy, they had two suicides here in a pretty short period of time. And again, just a reminder to everybody to pick up the phone, stay connected, right? And another reminder to everybody that you're not the only one struggling out there. There's other people that are struggling with the same things you're struggling with. So pick up the phone, stay connected to them. If they can get through this stuff, you can get through this stuff. All right? And don't be afraid, right? All the rules of post-traumatic winning. One, stop faking it. If you're hurting, say it. Now, do you say it to just anybody? No, don't be silly. Okay? You say it to your besties. You say it to your close friends. Hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? Okay? And just know that everybody struggles. Everybody struggles. And I'll tell you what, it's going to get worse for everybody. So I've had a number of conversations with people in the last couple of days. I mean, I've met a lot of people in Colorado Springs, so they've reached out to me. I met other Air Force people who've reached out to me. And so the whole isolation piece, it's one thing to not be able to live your life the way you want it. It's another thing to isolate yourself. And I was talking yesterday that it feels like being on ship, except there's not as many people, right? You can't go down the wardroom and, you know, at lunch or breakfast and dinner and see everybody and say, hey, and shoot the shit. And then go back to, you know, whatever tasks that you have that take up your day and whatever. So it's groundhog-ish, like, shipboard life is. And but you know what? We can do this. If that's as difficult as your life get, I can tell you from living on ship for close to 2 years in my life that that too passed. That we who lived on ships, at some point the ship comes in. At some point things change. And that routine you developed, you know, honestly, I mean, it teaches you something in your life. So anyway, good morning here on a Tuesday morning, the last day of March, April Fool's Day tomorrow. So don't be fooled by the whatever tomfoolery somebody thinks is really, really funny. And good morning to you. And this is dedicated to everybody who listens to the program. All right, don't be afraid to reach out to your best friends and just say, "Hey, what's up?" and have a conversation. Right? Don't. So this is dedicated to that thought.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, "Look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran." Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
8:25 here on a Tuesday. Time for us to check the weather. Around Marineland. Currently it is mostly cloudy and 51 in Quantico in Northern Virginia. It is partly cloudy and 62 down the coast at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. It is sunny in 29 Palms and 56, so warming up in the desert. It is sunny in 54 at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 71. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 72. In Lashkarga in Helmand, near the center of Task Force Helmand, it is early in the evening, cloudy and 65 degrees. And in Ramadi, late in the day, now that the days are getting longer, it is mostly cloudy and 74. Currently partly cloudy and 58 here in Southern California. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, looking for high of 73 today, 70 tomorrow, and 68. These temperatures have been routinely about 5 degrees low. So yesterday, beautiful day here in Southern California in the low 70s. Yeah, boom. That's why we call it Southern California, the Golden State. Because in our solitary confinement, we have low 70 temperatures. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check out the news. There's a bunch of it. And I just got an email. I just got a text message from Alabama, from Libby. Yeah. So after I said, hey, stay connected to your friends, I got this, what's up, with this one, some emoji that's kind of smiling and winking, I think. I said, no shit, you knew I was talking to you. But no, I mean, seriously, just that, right? It doesn't take much. And let me just tell you, what'll happen is when somebody doesn't text you back, or when they give you the what's up, or with no exclamation mark, or they give you like the dead fish electronically, kind of like a handshake dead fish. Everybody knows what that is. That means get their ass on the phone and say, hey, man, you all right? What's going on? And but here's what I say. Don't treat it like it's a clinical event. Hey, how are you? Are you okay? Pick up the phone and say, hey, man, what's going on? Just wanted to say hi. Because people know when you're probing to find out if they're struggling. And they tend to retreat into their shell. But if you just act like normal, like you're a normal friend, right, then they tend to have a conversation like they're a normal friend. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. News on the other side. Grant Newsham on the far side of that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Time to look at the news. Stars and Stripes, right? Stars and Stripes. Top story is about the first National Guard member to be to become the DOD's first coronavirus death. So, story about him. There's two soldiers died in South Korea recently. Foul play not completely ruled out in the deaths, and deaths initially thought to be suicides. The next story in Stars and Stripes is video games, buddy checks, and feats of strength. Veteran organizations go viral in response to the pandemic. How about physical fitness? Is that feats of strength? Another story away from the coronavirus is U.S. and South Korea are close to a deal, negotiators say, on cost sharing relative to U.S. forces Korea. And another interesting story, as we always do, we keep tabs on things in the South China Sea, right? Right. And again, this is even a Stars and Stripes report. So, I mean, a bit surprising. Japanese destroyer is damaged in collision with Chinese fishing vessel in the East China Sea. Now, Chinese fishing vessel. Are you feeling that? Right. This is a Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force destroyer, the Shimakaze, was damaged Monday after colliding with a Chinese fishing vessel in the East China Sea. The incident occurred at 8:28 p.m., approximately 400 miles west of Yakushima Island. So, here's a question. Is this a harmless little incident? Right? Now, first of all, we all know that Chinese fishing vessels are, right? Do they do the bidding of the People's Liberation Army? Yes. So, is this just a drunk? Is this a drunk seagoing captain? And there are many out there. So, if you look at Tokyo, I'm sorry, if you look at the Japanese mainland, right, and you go from their southern tip, from the southern tip of Japan to where I'm talking about, let me get my ruler out. And let me go in miles. Thank you. Stand by. I only want a line. Yeah, Google Earth, I love. All right, so from the southern tip of Japan, it is about only about 50 miles to this island. Yeah. So you would expect that this would have taken place in the South China Sea, eh? Right? Japanese officials declined to release details on what caused the incident pending a joint investigation with the Coast Guard. One of the 13 Chinese sailors aboard the fishing boat complained of minor back pain after the incident. None of the Shimakaze's 260 sailors were injured, the spokesman said. The same government spokesman in Japan customarily speak to reporters under a condition of anonymity. The collision left a 3-foot-by-6-inch hole in the Shimakaze's port side. That would be left side for all of you non-seagoing type people. But the vessel is still operable. Yeah. If the Chinese are involved, it ain't an accident. Not exactly sure why, but it's not an accident. Marine headline. Thousands of U.S. Marines won't be deploying down under this spring after all. So, I think there was a lot of plans made after the coronavirus, you're right, headlines, you know, and I think it was a lot of people that, again, saying that, yeah, until further notice, our deployments are still on. Well, guess what? Based on the spread of the virus, their deployments are not on anymore. The Marine Corps is delaying the deployment of thousands of Marines to Northern Australia for a 6-month rotation starting in April due to travel restrictions associated with coronavirus. The Marines had planned to push ahead with the mission known as Marine Rotational Force Darwin by isolating troops in their barracks during their first 14 days down under. However, Defense Secretary Mark Esper issued the orders last week barring nearly all official movements overseas for Defense Department personnel. So, anyway, quote, in cooperation with the Australian government, the Marine Rotational Force Darwin 2020 rotation is delayed at the time due to concerns over COVID-19, and we agree that force protection must be a top priority for both countries as we continue to fight the virus. Marine Corps Forces Pacific Commander Lieutenant General Louis Caparata said in a statement on Monday, Lou and I were captains together at the Infantry Officer Corps. Yeah. Lou doesn't so much argue with you as he sets you straight, just for the record, in case you bump into him. The deployment was to move around 2,500 Marines. Some elements did arrive in March, Australian officials said via email on Friday. So anyway, Marine Rotational Force Darwin, hit by the coronavirus. News from United States Naval Institute. Right, Navy halts travel of new recruits to Great Lakes boot camp. The Navy has one recruit training center now at Great Lakes. They are not shipping there anymore for obvious reasons, right? Navy is offering delayed retirements and separations to help maintain readiness during this pandemic. It's not, right, stop loss, right? So if you were scheduled to get out and you looked at the job market and you said, hey, I'd like to delay getting out, to maintain fleet readiness during the COVID-19 related training and movement restrictions, Navy officials are allowing officers and enlisted sailors to delay pending retirements and separations for up to a year. At the same time, the service is also welcoming back to active duty permanently departed personnel. The move is an acknowledgement of the current stop movement orders and their disruption that it's causing the Navy's ability to ensure ships have the correct mix of experienced officers and enlisted sailors for the foreseeable future. All service members interested in extending are invited to apply, but priority for approval would be given to those service members filling sea duty and critical billets. Oh, so if you're sitting at the landfill in Norfolk, you might not be a priority. The policy released late last week in a NAV admin by Chief of Naval Personnel Vice Admiral John Nowell places a premium on keeping vessels ready to deploy as the Navy grapples with uncertainty regarding the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. So pretty predictable stuff, right? Next headline, Marines stop shipping new recruits to Paris Island amid COVID-19 spread. Got to copy the Navy, right? Now, right? You would have expected it. The Marine Corps will temporarily suspend shipping new recruits to Marine Corps Recruit Depot Paris Island in South Carolina after a handful of cases of the COVID-19 virus have been diagnosed at the installation, right? But again, at Paris Island, okay? Doesn't say anything about San Diego yet. Quote, the preservation of our Marines, recruits, and their families is the highest priority for Marine Corps recruiting during this national emergency, said Commandant David Berger. With that in mind, we've paused this week's shipping of new recruits to Paris Island and will revise our overall shipping plan to ensure we are able to meet the nation's need while protecting its next generation of Marines. Recruit training for individuals already at Paris Island will continue as planned, with continued emphasis on personnel and environmental cleanliness and social distancing, according to the news release. Well, they're kind of quarantined already. In fact, I just had one of my roommates in college, his brother, daughter just graduated from officer candidate school here a few weeks ago. And he sent me an email and said, yeah, we got there to go to the graduation and they closed the graduation. Yeah. Which kind of sucks. I mean, you might've done that the week before, eh? But they also, they closed the museum and every other museum in the Washington, D.C. area. So he said it was, we got to see our daughter, and that was awesome. But, you know, pretty sad that we didn't get to see, you know, her be commissioned and whatnot. But it gives you the steps that that the DOD is taking and the Marine Corps is taking. Berger said at the briefing that whereas recruits typically get time off after boot camp and before heading to their next training destination, instead they'll have that time at the beginning of their boot camp experience to remain in quarantine and be monitored for symptoms. Those who are going through the Military Entrance Processing Center, MEPS as it's known, and then on to Parris Island or San Diego, they're being isolated for a period of time to have a good look at them, to observe them before training starts, where normally they would have had that period after boot camp. So their boot leaves being canceled and being used up so that they're in quarantine. In San Diego, the recruit depot is still receiving and training new Marines, but at a somewhat decreased capacity, a spokesman told USNI News. Quote, MCRD in San Diego is receiving recruits this week, though it is a decreased number to ensure that there is enough space to provide social distancing and adequate staff to safely screen and evaluate incoming recruits. This is a dynamic situation that continues to evolve. The Marine Corps is taking careful, deliberate steps at all levels to mitigate risk to all involved while continuing to fulfill our critical role as in the defense of the nation. On a case-by-case basis, shipping plans may be adjusted or reduced based on recruit depot capacity, safeguarding the force, or the need to maintain isolation and distancing. If we encounter challenges with shipping due to COVID impacts, discretion will be applied to existing and future plans. Within our existing authorities, we can adjust shipping plans to meet the needs of the nation. And that was Captain Martin Harris. Obviously, there will be more to follow in the days to come. Obviously. So what are they saying? Yeah, MCRD in San Diego, we're still in business. And so, you know, yeah, people at San Diego feeding it once again to people at Parris Island. We're still in business. Yeah. Parris Island, not so much. Typical, right? You can already hear them shit talking. And if you didn't see it, you know, big news across the country yesterday. A great video as both the Comfort and the Mercy, you know, are now where they're supposed to be in Los Angeles and in New York. Great fanfare with that yesterday. I have a shithole weather thing I have to get to. Oops. All 1st Marine Division units will train at their home station. No more 29 trips to follow for now. Yeah, I don't really understand this. There's no safer place in the desert of 29 Palms, provided you're not already infected. So if you're monitoring people and, you know, we're just going to keep them locked into Camp Pendleton and send them home, to me there's more danger in them going home on a nightly basis than sending them up to 29 Palms. No more busing up to 29 Palms for training, at least for the time being. All units with the 1st Marine Division will continue to train aboard their home stations until further notice as the Corps continues to implement policies to help stem the spread of COVID-19, one MEF told Marine Corps Times in an emailed statement. So this is the Marine Corps Times puts out these things like, we want to hear from you, right? That's code, right? We want you to snitch on your unit. At least two sources within the unit told Marine Corps Times that 3rd Battalion 1st Marines was still planning to kick off training despite news of the canceled exercise. Officials with one MEF said 3-1 is not headed to 29 Palms. So here you have like, right? The third shitter on the left emailing Marine Corps Times. Hey, look, all I know is that we're going. Right? Oh, funny. Yeah. Hey, make sure you disseminate all that information because you're the third shitter on the left is emailing now. You see, they have another one in here. How is the new force-wide travel ban impacting you and your family? We need to hear from Marine. That's how they dig up dirt. And then they throw it in somebody's face, and then they get the, yeah, well, that's not happening. Well, sorry. But does that impact the headline that got written? No. No. Next story. I found out that somebody who writes for Military Times, you know, I worked with in Iraq. Yeah. His name is J.D. Simpkins. You'll see his name on a lot of stories. And he was an artillery guy and worked in the 5th Marines Combat Operations Center. And I got a note from him, I don't know, about a month ago. Actually, he wanted to be friends with me on Facebook. And I was like, hey, do I know you? And he said, yeah, we served together in Iraq. I was like, really? He said, yeah, I used to work in the 5th Marines Combat Operations Center. And I said, well, then, hello, what's up? Anyway, sad story. Air Force Academy cadets, I made graduation after second cadet death in 3 days. A cadet at the U.S. Air Force Academy was found dead Saturday afternoon on the Academy's campus in Colorado Springs. The cadet's death is the second on the campus in the last 3 days. Another individual was found unresponsive at approximately 11 a.m. on Thursday. Both were cadet first class, Academy officials confirmed. Quote, these tragedies have caused incredible shock and pain throughout the U.S. Air Force Academy family. Lieutenant General Jay Silveira, superintendent of the Air Force Academy, said in an official statement. Right now, we're all focused on taking care of our cadets' families and each other, our cadets, our faculty, our staff, as we grieve this loss. We ask for everyone's patience and respect for the family's privacy at this time. No foul play is expected in either incident, and Academy officials confirmed that neither death was caused by COVID-19. Circumstances surrounding both of the deaths are under investigation. Yeah, somebody just sent me an email. Hey, Mac, you've been back there a few times. I don't recall you having spoken to the cadets because I haven't. Because I haven't. So anyway, that's brutal. And, you know, part of it is the isolation. But, you know, as we all know, much of it is other stuff, right? Much of it is other stuff. Another email. Mac, do you watch Governor Cuomo's press conference? Well, normally Governor Cuomo's press conference comes on during All Marine Radio. But I'll tell you what I have watched. I have watched him as he works his PowerPoint. He keeps the clicker in his right hand, and he keeps his hand generally behind the placard as he kind of rolls through his speaking cues, right? And so his approval, right, his approval rating, whatever you call that, has gone from 44% to 71% over the course of the last few months. Yeah, how about that? Pretty amazing. And now he's being talked about as, you know, this guy should be Joe Biden's vice president, or this guy should be drafted at the convention to be the Democratic candidate. So I don't normally get a chance to watch him But there's kind of some interesting things that have come out of these press conferences. And one is the way politicians articulate information to the general public during this crisis. You know, and, you know, so you'll hear, you know, the mayor of New York City, you've seen Governor Cuomo do it. We don't have, you know, what we need. Well, does that mean you don't need have what you need for today, or you don't need, you don't have what you need for this projected apex? And they tend not to say what they mean. And then what you hear from, you know, the federal authorities is that, hey, we know that they have this stuff stockpiled, right? And I think you just saw a comment from the president yesterday saying, we're no longer going to send it to the state. We're going to send it to the hospital because the state is creating its own stockpile. And you have these stories come out to make the administration look, you know, terrible. What's interesting is everything, right, because of the volatility and the clickability of the president, every story related to coronavirus, every headline has to have Trump's name in it. For instance, California got respirators. And there, I saw a headline the other day that said 170 of the respirators that Trump sent California, that Trump sent California, were not fully functional. What? And you look at it and you laugh, right? As people monetize COVID-19. Shithole weather. Shithole weather is a weather-related stand-down. Webster, Massachusetts. Solid cloud cover. 37 degrees Fahrenheit. Currently, 45 the expected high. Clearing this afternoon, winds 5 to 7 out of the northeast. Chris Cox says, if it clears up, I'm going paddleboarding. That is a look at your news today. Take it with a grain of salt. Remember, mute the television. If you want to listen, right, on most of us, we can rewind it, fast forward through it. Listen to the people that make sense. All right? Listen to the people that tend to make sense. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Max, so whose news do you watch? The only news I watch is Brett Baer. He comes on at 3 o'clock Pacific time, so I just record that. And I don't watch anything that's political related. So anything that wants to talk about Joe Biden or the president's popularity, I don't watch any of that. I can't stand watching that these days. There's bigger problems, right? I like watching the experts they have on. I'll tell you, the other guy who I've grown fond of is Bill Hemmer, who used to do Fox News in the morning, but he does his own show now at about noon here. But what he does is he goes through data relative to the coronavirus like he does with election results. This, you know, election results, right? This county, which leaned this way, the last election is now leaning this way. And so I like that kind of election coverage where you can see like the shift of the electorate. Well, doing the same thing. Okay, well, the number for the United States has grown, you know, doubled overnight. Well, 90% of those cases come from one state, New York, right? Now they're coming from New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Jersey, which means that is the scattering of people out of New York City, with Florida emerging, which is second residence for a lot of New Yorkers. Got in their car and drove to Florida or got flown down there, and they've taken the coronavirus with them. And so, you know, you begin to see the footnotes, right? And it's interesting when you're talking about the coronavirus and the spread of the coronavirus. What do you hear? You hear New Orleans, you hear Washington, the state of Washington, you hear the greater New York City area, and you heard Florida. So far, Los Angeles doesn't get mentioned. Now, I don't think Los Angeles is going to get skipped in all this. And in particular, the homeless population of 58,000 people in Los Angeles, at some point, this virus is going to go through the homeless population. And they are, you know, they have their own set of issues that the homeless population deals with. And when that hits that population, what you're going to see is calls for legislation that will give local authorities the power to take people off the street, that this is a public health hazard, that these things became colonies for spreading it. Just like in New York City, what's the conduit that spreads coronavirus in New York City? Why did that number get so big so fast? Answer, the subway. The subway. Well, we can't shut down the subway. Why not? And then you get the, not sure. Okay, well, you got to rethink that. Because what happened in New York City, right, the inability of New York City's and of New York City to get around any other way than their mass transportation system, which we all know and love, spreads this thing through the Northeast and then down the East Coast, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I mean, to me, this is pretty riveting stuff, right? Once in a lifetime stuff. But where do I go to get information? So I'll fast forward, and when I see Bill Hemmer go to his map, then I watch that. And then what I do is I'll watch that, and then I fast forward. I see, is it a political guest? Is it a doctor? I'll watch a doctor. I'll watch a nurse. I'll watch a volunteer, political person. Fast forward through that. Yeah, and my Google TV thing, right, I can advance it 15 seconds. So I know for every – I can slide, and then when I hit the commercials, it's 4 advances per commercial, and most commercial sets are 4 minutes, so it's 16 clips. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, boom, and they're back. Yeah. So I've got it kind of down. But those are the guys I watch. I'll tell you, I don't know how anybody can watch CNN. I go past it, and I see the high-pitched vitriol, and it's just like in their news. Right in their what they would purport to you as news, to me it's amazing. It's amazing. So and again, I'm not the president's biggest fan. And let me tell you, at some point when it's appropriate, there'll be a postmortem done of all of this, and we'll look back at what he knew and what he did and what he said. Now, there's a difference between being the cheerleader, in chief of the country. There's, at some point there's going to be a reconciliation because let me tell you what I believe. I believe he got told certain things by his health people, to include their ability to develop a test. And those things did not pan out. And then he had to stand in front of the American people. And then he had to dance. He had to fill while the United States of America doesn't have a test that he was told that they would develop, and this is how this is going to work. So now all of a sudden it fails, and they set themselves back weeks, and he's got to stand out in front of the American people, try to be the optimist in chief, and he's covering by not throwing them under the bus. So, and then there's going to be decisions he made that he's going to be held accountable for. So this whole thing that, being, used as politics, to me, a little bit premature. And during the postmortem, what did he know? When did he know it? And then what was the truth behind all of that? But I mean, it's nonstop, man, on TV. And like I said, Fox News, good God, that is so not the news. And so, and then I'll watch some local news here in Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles, Orange County area, and to see what's going on here, and in the state. And so, yeah, the homeless thing. Yeah, but it's interesting. If you notice, Los Angeles, not part of it yet. Now, why is that? No mass transportation system, I think, is one thing. The Los Angeles is a huge port of entry from, obviously, the Pacific Rim. Well, the Pacific Rim flights got shut down, so that would have slowed it. So I think those two things in particular slow the spread of coronavirus. And if people – and it's interesting. I saw an article about how they're measuring, you know, who's good and who's bad at social distancing via data. And so, right, all these travel apps that we all have on our phone, Google Maps, Waves, right, and things like that, the that data gets sold to different people that want it. And so somebody was doing an analysis of 5 to 15% of the travelers in every state. And then they ranked states and areas by how much they were they had cut down their travel. And so based on percentage of travel that was normal, right? So not total travel, because if you were, you know, doing commuting, obviously, you know, people that live in Southern California that have long commutes, you know, if they cut them by miles, right? But since you're talking percentages, then you can compare apples to apples in different parts of the country. And so you had, you know, many communities, people had cut the amount of traveling they'd done by, you know, 60 to 70%. But that is not going to spare the homeless community. At some point, it will get there. And then maybe you'll have the impetus for elected bodies to enact legislation that creates camps where homeless people, you know, can, for public health reasons, can be compelled to go. You don't have the right to live on the sidewalk. It is a public health issue. So maybe this will provide that. Because and then what you would have there, I was listening to a Malcolm Gladwell podcast, and which is strikingly eerily similar to post-traumatic winning. But the key to solving the homeless crisis is listening. What does each person need? Because each person's homeless story is different. Do they need a job? You know, do they? And but the person that has done this and done it well in a series of cities says the first thing you have to provide is a place to live. How can you solve the other problems if you don't have a place to go lay down at night? If you're living on the streets, you have your own set of pressing issues, and you can't even get at anything else until you solve that. So, having a place to put your head down at night, and so is interesting. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio. Grant Newsham going to join us next here on a Tuesday. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.